Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the kingdom of God. And I've been up since early this morning working on different things on some of our websites. I started putting together a checklist of are you a Christian or not a Christian. I started that some time ago, and I put it out to other people on the network as to how to fill out that kind of Christian checklist, and I don't remember getting any feedback really on it. I know a lot of guys are thinking about it, but a lot of times people are waiting for somebody else to answer. They don't just jump out there and get involved. You know, jump in with their sleeves rolled up and start getting the job done. That's a real important characteristic of a Christian, though. A Christian is a doer. He's a doer of lots of things, a doer of the word. If you're not a doer of the word, you're not a Christian. Because Jesus said it's not those who say, but those who doeth the will of the Father, who are doers of the word. You know, when they were the Pharisees had set up their system of Corban through Herod that was a system of sacrifice. That's what Corban means. It's a system of sacrifice where you signed up and you had to sacrifice, and they put money in the temple. Of course, they didn't even have the temple until Herod. Herod built the temple of Herod. He also built the temple of Roma. And he did this with the funds that came in his system of Corban, because those funds, those sacrifices of the people, kept flowing in on a regular basis. And the reason they flowed in on a regular basis is they had men out there making sure they flowed in. In other words, their system was not based on free will offerings, was not based on charity, which is what they talk about in the Old Testament. Free will offerings, over and over again. Never uses the word charity, but it says free will offerings. And that's what charity is a free will offering. If you're supported by benefactors who exercise authority rather than benefactors who are operating according to the perfect law of liberty through charity and the hope that he will be able to benefit you, then you're not a Christian. If you're using men who force the offerings, the sacrifice of your neighbor so that you can have, you know, free stuff, free to you, cost somebody else, but it's free to you, then you're not a Christian. Well, I have just removed 90% or better of the people who think they're Christian from the side of the list that says Christian. And they've been moved over to the side of the list not a Christian. Somebody just sent out a thing today on Facebook. I actually know the person for all their life. And they were talking about spread this 11 things the media refuses to report about Amtrak, because there was this big Amtrak crash recently. And it appears the guy was going too fast, but it also appears that he may have been hit by somebody else at the time. But anyway, he derailed the train, people died, and a lot of people were injured. And it says the federal government owns and operates Amtrak. Well, the federal government owns and operates just about everything, including most of these people who think they're Christians. Federal government owns you, owns your labor, and you know this because you have a federal employee identification number. A lot of people were actually going to jail, believe it or not, were going to jail because they refused to pay taxes, and these are lawyers even, because they read in the law that, I think it was, they called it the 861 argument, that they didn't have to pay taxes because they weren't federal employees. Because, they, you know, they worked as an attorney, or they worked for McDonald's, or whatever they worked for. I don't know what they worked for, but they said, well, we're not federal employees, and income tax is only for federal employees. And they knew this because they read it in the law. And they carefully read it in the law, and they called, I think it was called the 861 argument. But anyway, the point is, it's bogus. It's totally bogus. And it's wishful thinking on somebody's part to imagine that you don't owe income tax because you don't actually work for the federal government, because you do work for the federal government. Everybody works for the federal government in the United States. All the citizens of the United States, when they work, they're working for the federal government. And you know this because they have a federal employee identification number. Why would you need one? That's your Social Security number. It's a federal employee identification number. And so, yeah, they signed up for the Corbin of the Pharisees. Social Security is, I mean, it was for Social Security, but it's also for other purposes. It says that right in the bill. Of course, everybody read the bill, right? Because you're a very diligent individual, and you wouldn't sign up for something unless you read it. And then, of course, people say, well, my parents signed me up. Well, then the sins of the father are visited upon the sons for many generations. So the fact is that the vows of your father brought you into bondage. And the same is true of the Israelites in Egypt. Of course, they had a ceiling limit. They didn't have to pay more than 20% of what they earned or produced or worked in a given year. And so there was this ceiling limit. But there was ways around that too. Because you just simply, every child that's born, you just say, well, you have to provide 20% of that child's labor as if he was a man. In other words, if you had three children, you would have to pay 60% tax. Now, it wasn't exactly that way, but there was a burden. You were going to have more children. There was going to be a heavier tax burden, a heavier financial burden upon you. And so they started aborting children. And there was a rise in the amount of abortions, and even infanticides in Egypt. I mean, that's what it says in the New Testament, that they cast out their brephos, which actually is the Greek word for fetuses. So that was a rise because the people were in bondage, and they went into bondage not because the kids signed up, because their parents signed up. And they signed up way back in the famine, and they were subject to the famine because the man who could have told them what to do to prepare for the famine, they sold him into slavery, Joseph. And so they themselves went into slavery because as you judge, so shall you be judged. And that's the problem in America. It doesn't have anything to do with the 861 argument. That is just totally a distraction. Those people went to jail for absolutely no reason whatsoever because they were fools. Wishful thinking. The reason the world, the whole world, not just the United States, but I mean Egypt and Australia and Canada, all the citizens of those countries are in bondage today. They have to pay 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70% in France of what they earn to the government. That's bondage. That's a Corvey system of statutory bondage. And that's just the way it is. I'm not complaining about it. I'm just letting you know that that's the way it is. And the reason it's that way is because you're not a Christian. Because a Christian wouldn't covet his neighbor's goods, you see, because that's forbidden in the Ten Commandments. You're not even a Jew if you covet your neighbor's goods. I mean, Israel has heavy progressive income tax. It's because they're not really Jews, not Israelite Jews. I mean, the word Jew has lots of different definitions. People go, they get all hog wild on Khazar Jews and like it's a bloodline or something. It has to do with faith. Do you live by faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty? Or do you want to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare? And so you give men the power to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. Whether he wants to or not, he has to. I mean, you do that with everybody who sends their kids to public school, not a Christian. That's just a given. You can't send your kids to public school and demand that your neighbor pay for your child's education and actually force them to pay for the child's education or threaten to take away their home. Because that's what you do. I mean, they don't pay the property tax, which supports the school. You're going to take away their home. I mean, if they don't pay the tax, you're going to have somebody put them in jail. You live by the sword. You force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. And, of course, now a lot of you are thinking, well, there's no other way to do it. Well, what happened to charity? I mean, most schools were supported by charity until the 1910. Most people were educated outside of public school. Madison said that the public education, he was actually for some public education. I disagree with him on that. I believe that the only public education must be entirely supported by free will offerings. I mean, that's the Christian way. That's the way of Christ. Not forcing anybody to contribute to what you want, but living by faith, hope, and charity, and that perfect, perfect law of liberty. And so we used to have that. I mean, college even. You could go to college and it wouldn't cost you anything, no student loans, nothing, if you couldn't afford it. And Madison was for public education, but only for the absolute indigent. And of course, every United States citizen today is absolutely indigent. I mean, they have credit units in their bank account, maybe, but they're in debt. They're all in debt. The children are born in debt. They're in bondage. Now, that's just the way it is. I'm not picking on you for it. I'm just saying that's the way it is. But I'm telling you that you have need of repentance because you're not a Christian. You wouldn't, if America was a Christian nation, if the people in America were really Christians, this wouldn't have come about. But the fact is, it was a great falling away. Everybody's waiting for the great falling away. You know, the people will begin to abandon Christianity. You did that 100 years ago, folks. Used to be all the social welfare in the United States was the result of almost all. I mean, the vast, vast majority of social welfare in the United States was provided by charity. Mostly through churches. Or, you know, church organizations. Not anymore. It's all done by men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. It's done by you who elect these men. You know, when they elected Saul to be the king, that was a rejection of God. You're not even following the ways of Moses. So, that's where you're at. So anyway, back to the Amtrak thing. He says the federal government owns and operates Amtrak. Yeah, so it's, didn't you even read Atlas Shrugs? You know, socialism doesn't work. And so, now why does it own Amtrak? It doesn't need to. Did you know that the railroad companies were given billions of dollars in assets? Given. Coal, timberlands, huge holdings of timberlands. And they're making millions of dollars on those holdings. But a number of years ago, I mean decades now, they put those holdings in holding companies. And they said, we're losing money with the railroad. Those were given to them to support the railroad. They were given those assets to support the railroads. They put them in holding companies, and now they say we're not making any money. I mean, this is a simple bookkeeping problem. Anybody in Congress could go, well, say, wait a minute, these holding companies, they're making money. They're making millions and millions of dollars, and that's why we gave them to you, to support the railroad, to provide a boost to the economy. I mean, that was the principle. I'm not really in favor of that. But that was the principle. So, they did this. Nobody said him. Nobody called him on it. And it's still going on to this day. They said, oh, well, we need to be subsidized by the government. You were subsidized, but you're hiding the funds from your subsidization. Why didn't Congress point this out? Why didn't the press point this out? Bribes. Corruption. And of course, you were told in 1 Samuel chapter 8 that when you elect these men who exercise authority, in other words, can force the Corban, the sacrifice of the people, that this is what would happen. You created offices of power. Well, men who seek power seek office. And guess what? Men who seek power seek more power. And more power and more power. And they don't care where they get it. But of course, the reason you have such leaders is because you sought power. That's right. You are the beast. You're just a little beastie. But you wanted power over your neighbor. You wanted to be able to force your neighbor to buy you a free education. And now you want them to force your neighbor to buy you free health care and Social Security and all that socialism. Public schools is socialism. Social Security is socialism. Health care is socialism. And socialism is anti-Christ. Now, there's some people actually out there saying Christ was a socialist. No, socialist believes in benefactors who exercise authority, forcing everybody to contribute to what they call welfare, individual welfare. Christ said it was not to be that way with you. You're not to be like the governments of the Gentiles who are socialists, who exercise authority, call themselves benefactors, but exercise authority. Simple, basic Christianity. Not to be that way. You are that way, not a Christian. Period. He goes on to say that Amtrak loses hundreds of millions of dollars a year. No, it doesn't. It's a socialist system. It doesn't lose it. It just takes it from somebody else. That's the design. The problem isn't Amtrak. The problem is socialism. The railroad companies have the money in their holding companies to run Amtrak. They could run it probably more efficiently and did than the government. But like I said, did you read Atlas Shrugged or not? I mean, it's basic. But anyway, American taxpayers subsidize a service they don't use. Well, that's number three. Well, wait a minute. You just said that basically. And two, you just elaborated that they don't use it. Well, guess what? Everybody who sends their kids to public school forces somebody to subsidize their public education who don't use it. People without children, people who homeschool, people who send their kids to private schools. All are required to subsidize the education at the point of a gun of the people who want to send their kids to public school. And the amazing thing is the evidence is clear that people that send their kids to public school get a poor education. And actually, the evidence, if you want to look into it in greater detail, they receive a false education because they're not really taught the truth about history. Very few of them will ever get the assignment to read Atlas Shrugged. Not that I don't advocate the book. I mean, it's an interesting book, and it's thought-provoking, especially in today's progressive socialism. But Christianity isn't about, I'm not about political agendas. I'm about repenting. Stop coveting your neighbor's goods, the agency of men who exercise authority. Start providing social welfare through charity, which is what you used to do in America, which made America great. Made the people of America industrious and diligent, moral, upright, family-oriented people. You went away from that. And now you're headed for destruction. Doesn't have anything to do with derivatives. Doesn't really have anything to do with the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is a symptom of the problem. I mean, you're not to have diverse weights in your purse, according to the Bible. You're not to be owing any man anything. Well, if you were doing that as a Christian or a Jew or a Muslim, you wouldn't have anything to do with Federal Reserve or Federal Reserve notes. They would lose their value because nobody would want them because we're all would be Christians. And other monies valuable monies, commodity monies, would take their place. But don't worry about that happening, because none of you are Christians. None of you who say you are Jews are actually Jews, and none of you who say you are Muslims are actually Muslims. And we can deal with the Hindus and Buddhists along the same line if we wanted to. But the point is, you're all out there coveting your neighbor's goods because you're all a bunch of little beasties. You want to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare and the welfare of your children and the welfare of your parents. You don't want to have to pay your parents Social Security. You want somebody else to do it. You say you pay in, but it's a bankrupt system. It's a system of Corbin that makes the word of God to none effect, which is very clear in history. You can read our articles on it. Then, so they say American taxpayers subsidize the service they don't use. Happens every day. Very small percentage of the population use a government service we all pay for. Hey, you know, I was called up by CDC today, or yesterday. You know, I was working under a building, and they called me up, and they had called me like 3-4 times, and I was randomly chosen for a survey. I was randomly chosen for 4 surveys. I am not your normal guy, but for some reason, we're constantly being randomly chosen by government for surveys. I think that's rather bizarre. But anyway, they wanted to know all kinds of questions. Took almost a half an hour, and I was answering them quick. No, 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 no. Heterosexual. No, no. You know, when he was asking my sexual orientation, and he listed off heterosexual, and I said, yep, that's heterosexual. And he says, I'm required to list all the others. And there was like, I think like 5 options. There's really only one option, but there, for him, there's 5 options. And I thought, can I put my hands over my ears and hum while you list the others? But it's bizarre. It's bizarre what we've come to. But that's just a symptom. Abortion. I was talking to somebody on one of our YouTube channels, and they're quoting Numbers 5. And totally lost in religion. Abortion is a symptom. Just like I said at the beginning of the show, Egypt was aborting, people in Egypt were aborting their children. Why? Economic pressures. More children, the more pressure there was on the family. What is the cause of most abortions today? Economic pressures. You know, you single mothers, of course, that's an economic pressure. It just goes on and on and on. We're repeating the same thing. So what's the solution? That's what we need to look at. What is the solution? And by looking at this Amtrak thing, which I have staring me on the screen here, we can go over and find out what the solution really is when we come back to Keys of the Kingdom. Well, welcome back. So anyway, we were talking about Amtrak as a springboard to understanding the kingdom. And of course, it was because there was a huge train wreck. And a number of people died. And the fact is, there's another train wreck coming. You know, a lot of people are economically looking at the end of the tunnel. And they see a light. And they think it's the end of the tunnel. But it's actually a freight train coming towards them. And it's going to smash and crash with great devastation. I did that once we were at a meeting way back in the early days of this particular ministry. And people were talking about getting on board with some of the things that we were talking about. And some of the people did get on board. I don't know if any of them are left. They've all kind of gone astray. Some of them have gotten into politics. But this is very common with the Christian message. The Christian message really causes you to look deeply into your own soul, because it's about spiritual salvation. But with that spiritual salvation comes physical changes. Eventually, those physical changes can get rather miraculous. But the reality is, you have to wake up and understand the truth. See the truth, the whole truth, and mostly about yourself. Because the reason those lawyers who studied the law went to jail is because they didn't understand themselves. They read the law and they imagined they understood it, but they didn't understand themselves, because they didn't understand themselves. They didn't understand human nature. Because they didn't understand human nature, they missed huge pieces of the puzzle. They didn't understand the gospel. I mean, people actually think that the Constitution of the United States is a godly document, that it's based on Christian principles, biblical principles, that it's biblical in its nature. It does talk in the Bible about making a constitution. It gives you five things to include in the Constitution if you do make a constitution, although it warns you against it. But if you do make a constitution, which is to rein in the king, the president, the prime minister, whatever it is that you're going to elect to exercise authority one over the other, it says five things you should put in there. Only one of them out of the five is in the Constitution of the United States. And I know all kinds of constitutional scholars who don't know any of them. They don't even know what the Bible says about writing a constitution and reading it to your leader every day. They completely miss it. I know Bible scholars who don't even know. They just dismiss it because they don't want to see the truth about themselves. The sin nature in themselves. The greedy, unloving, unforgiving sin nature that's in themselves. The Cain syndrome, the Saul syndrome in themselves. And we have a lot of people, because we talk about, you know, liberty and the higher liberty, like the book, The Higher Liberty, and we get a lot of people that are joining the network that want to be free. Well, you know, Satan wanted to be free. Wanting to be free is not a noble thing. It's okay to want to be free if you want to be free to do the will of the Father, to give life, to sacrifice yourself for righteousness' sake. That's the reason why but a lot of libertarians just want to do their own thing. They just want to have fun. They just want to whatever. Just wanting to be free, that doesn't mean anything in itself. You could be Satan himself and want to be free. Why do you want to be free? That takes us back to looking at ourselves. So if you want to get on board with the train, you have to get on board with the truth. You have to get on board with the truth about yourself. So, yeah, a very small percentage of the population use a government service we all pay for. What does that have to do with small? Why are you forcing your neighbor to pay for anything that you want? Even though you legally do it, it's not stealing, it's coveting. And there's laws against that. Not in the world today, because today the world is like the governments of the Gentiles, who force the contributions of the people through men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority. That's not Christian. And Christians who go along with that and seek those benefits, lovers of reward, through their covetous practices, they have cursed their children, as the Bible tells you that you will in the New Testament, Peter tells you. And you have become merchandise, human resources. Okay, and item number 5, Amtrak has already been subsidized to a tune of a whopping $45 billion. So, what have you been subsidized to? Did you go to public school? Then you were subsidized too. The $45 billion is what government put up to support what the government owns. And it owns you and it supports you. It provides you. I mean, if the government's taking care of your parents, in other words, providing Social Security payments, Medicare, Medicaid, then you're being subsidized because you're supposed to honor your parents. You see, this was the whole thing with the Corbin of the Pharisees, that they did no more ought for their parents. They said, I've already given. I almost never see anywhere in biblical theology the explanation as to what the system of Corbin was. We've written about it extensively now and showed that Corbin was a system of social welfare. Sacrifice. You sacrifice to take care of the needy of your society. And that's what you have today. You're making the word of God to none effect. So what would you put over on the side of the column where if you had a column, one that says not a Christian, and you had another column that said might be a Christian, what would be over on might be a Christian? It'd be working diligently to provide a system of social welfare based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty. You might be a Christian if you were doing that diligently to show yourself approved. Because that's what the quote actually says. It doesn't say study to show thyself approved. The word there is not translated study anywhere else. It's translated, be diligent to show thyself approved. Be diligent in what? Practicing pure religion. You know, visiting the sick. Which doesn't mean visiting, it means taking care of. Okay. So anyway, it goes on. Number 6, Amtrak is set to receive another $7 billion over the next 5 years, which is, you know, a little over $1 billion a year. And Amtrak is not, of course, they got these 11 things, but they're actually kind of overlapping. Amtrak is not underfunded, it's criminally mismanaged. Well, so is Social Security, so is Medicare, so is Medicaid. So is the government itself. But it's the kind of government you wanted because you wanted to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. And you're sending your kids to public school. You've already made the acceptance of the idea that it's okay to force my neighbor. You know, all the fire departments in America were privately funded by contributions. You were a member of a fire, house. You signed up. It's kind of like what we have out here. We have Air Life. And Air Life, if you have an injury, they will fly you to the hospital. And it won't cost you anything if you're a member. If you're a member, it might cost you $10,000 to have a helicopter land and fly you to the hospital. But a lot of people sign up out here because it's it's a very quick way to get people. You know, you can be to the hospital in 20 minutes and you could be dead. We had a guy get his arm cut off and was bleeding to death and on a farming accident. And so they air-lifed. We had somebody air-lifed just the other day. That was interesting. They had these pains and everything, and they'd been to the doctor, and they were having these pains. And so anyway, they had to go to a different hospital than they'd normally go to because the other one was full. And they flew them there, and the doctors all looked at them, and MRIs, and da-da-da, and prescribed medicine, and sent them off, and they were at Walmart parking lot, and they collapsed and turned blue, and the husband is giving CPR, and then the ambulance shows up giving CPR, and finally they revived them at the hospital, and they went into intensive care, and it ended up, what was the problem? Improper medication prescribed by a doctor. But anyway, they were air-lifed, and the husband actually, because he evidently knew CPR probably saved her life. But it was a bit of a basket case by the end of the day. But see, if you can't afford to get to the doctor, you might live longer. We had another neighbor who was into the hospital every month, sometimes a couple times a month, and having all kinds of health issues. And finally got a doctor that took her off all of her medication, and she's better now. She's not having any trouble getting anywhere she wants to go, and hasn't been to the hospital since. So anyway, if you can't afford a doctor, and of course that is part of the problem here, is that you think that the government would solve your problems, so you look to government. You know, one of the early advocates of America, I'll have to say advocate because he was actually an Englishman, he didn't live in America, but he advocated that America was a special kind of place. It was a republic. This is even before the American Revolution. He says, as long as you look to government to solve your problems, you will always suffer tyranny. Now, there were some Americans who said the same thing, or similar, slightly wording it different. Until men change, governments will not change, because government is a symptom. It's a byproduct of who you are as a people. And the majority of the people, vast majority of the people, are greedy for gain. They are willing to have all one purse. And they want to eat at the table of rulers. And they want to eat with great appetite. Because they're a bunch of little beasties. They want to take a bite out of one another. That's New Testament. Warns you about taking a bite out of one another. Everybody who sends their kids to public school is taking a bite out of all the people who don't have any children in that school. And they're peeling off their flesh, off of their bones, legally. But it's based on covetousness. That's why there's a commandment against covetousness. So yeah, American people subsidize $60 for every Amtrak ticket sold. That's a distortion. But it kind of amounts to that. 25 million people ride the train. That means that for every person boarding the train, the American people are paying $60. Well, you can kind of calculate it up that way. So, yeah, okay. So, how much have I paid over the years for public education? Which I never sent any of my kids to. Nobody seems to worry about that. I mean, how many kids, if you took all the kids out of private school and all the homeschoolers and made them go to public schools, the public schools, you'd have to double the budget for the public education. So you've already accepted the idea it's okay to force somebody who's not using a service to pay for a service. Like I said, fire departments used to all be paid for, not by government money. Well, it was by government money, but it was the government of the people, for the people, and by the people, but by members. If they came to your house and put out the fire, and you weren't a member, they could send you a bill. And they might put out the fire anyway, because they don't want your house catching the next house on fire. But, and there is a certain element that, you know, you should care. You know, maybe they just contain your fire. But that's how it works. That's how a free society works. Today, you just tax your neighbor. You want grass on the lawn of your public cemetery? You just add another tax to your neighbor by force, and you think that's okay. And it's not. Ten Commandments says it's not okay. Christ said it was not okay. Moses said it was not okay. Abraham said it was not okay. But you say it's okay. Your preacher says it's okay. Billy Graham says it's okay. Well, those are workers of iniquity. It's not okay. It's making the Word of God to none effect. Because your society is not based on liberty. It's based on force. It's based on the sword. He goes on to say, taxpayers subsidize passengers who can afford to make Amtrak profitable. The reality is that if you, well, he wants you to sell Amtrak to a private business. Well, just give it back to the railroads and say, take those billions of dollars in assets that we already gave you out of those holding companies and make this work. Private enterprise. It's not completely private enterprise because they gave them those things, but it was interesting. How did you give them to those? You didn't really own them to begin with, but they said you could have them. They gave them claim on them, and they were some of the first people out here making the railroad. And then he talks about the derailment, and we don't know what caused that yet, but probably incompetence by somebody or a group of people. But you're incompetent because you're not taking care of one another based on faith, hope, and charity. You're not the church established by Jesus Christ, which brings us to another topic, is denominations. There's over 40,000 Christian denominations, which vary in doctrines and form considerably. If the church was established by Jesus Christ, there should be some consistency in what is claiming to be the church. We are told that we will know them by their fruits, but most people say, well, you know, they have a checklist theology. Yeah, I actually had a little, let's see if I have that still. Anyway, the checklist theology where, you know, do you believe in Jesus as God? And you say, well, okay, check. Well, devil believes that. So that doesn't mean anything. And besides that, you don't even know what the word God means. Because you think, well, we won't get into that. You just have to go look up. There are gods many, according to Paul. Them that say they are gods. What is he talking about? And besides, you know, Christ was clear that it's not those who say, Lord, Lord, those who do with the will of the Father. Show me the church that includes that in their doctrines. They have to be a doer of the word. Show me in a church that says that we are not to pray to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other for our benefits. We're not to apply or pray. Show me the church that says to do that. Because if your church isn't saying that you should not be applying to men who exercise authority, then your church is not preaching the doctrines of Christ, and therefore it's not established by Christ. You know, that it's that clear. It's that simple. Because the church was established by Christ for his doctrines. The church is legally defined, and I think it's an adequate definition, as the church in its most general sense. Now, this is in a general sense. Is the religious society, the whole society, founded and established by Jesus Christ to receive, preserve, and propagate his doctrines and ordinances. Now, his doctrines are pretty clear. It's his instructions, what he's teaching. What he's teaching. Now, some people focus on Paul, but Paul preached what Jesus taught first and then tried to elaborate on that. If you remove what Christ said from what Paul said, then you're going to get a distorted view. And Christ said that you had to be a doer of the word. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So if you're not keeping his commandments, then you don't love him, though you told me that you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal savior. You haven't if you're not keeping his commandments. You're just deluding yourself. Goes on to say that it's a body or community of Christians united under one form of government by the profession of one faith. Faith is allegiance. Faith is probity. And the observance of the same rituals and ceremonies. What are the rituals and ceremonies set up by Christ? It's feed my sheep, visit the sick, take care of one another, love one another. That's the rituals and ceremonies of Christ. Are you doing that in your church? Is your church the entire social welfare of your congregations? Or do some of your congregation go to men who exercise authority one over the other to obtain benefits? I mean, are you praying to the Father with your ministers and with your congregation for your daily bread? Or do you get your daily bread from men who call themselves benefactors and exercise authority? Your daily medication, your daily rent payment, your daily whatever it is. Do you have a daily ministration in your church based on faith, hope, and charity and the perfect law of liberty? Because if you don't, you're not a Christian. Because the early Christian church not only provided all the social welfare for Christians, they were put to death because they would not join the social welfare systems of Rome. And why wouldn't they? Because Roman social welfare systems were based on forced sacrifice, forced Corban, forced payments into the treasury. The word Corban is also translated treasury in the Bible. This is basic Christianity, and they don't teach it in the modern church. This is Christianity 101, and they don't teach it in the modern church. The modern Christian does not take care of the needy of his society. Who are the fathers of the earth? Call no man father. They weren't talking about the Catholic Church, because it didn't exist yet. They were talking about the government of Rome, the conscripted patri, the conscripted fathers of Rome, providing all these benefits. And you would pray to them for your daily bread. Social welfare at the point of a sword. Repent. Turn around. God bless. Until we meet again, which for some of you is in a couple of minutes. We'll be right back.